So they had 3 days of very public arguments, and now the arguments continue, the discussions, the debates, except they go on behind closed doors and privately between the nine justices. Paul Clement, the attorney who's representing 26 states challenging the Affordable Care Act, spoke to reporters after his final argument in the Supreme Court yesterday.
The idea all along was to get the opportunity to present our case to the Supreme Court of the United States. We've now had that opportunity. We're delighted to have had the opportunity, and of course now the case is under submission to the Supreme Court.
As deliberations begin, so does speculation about their outcome, although that's been going on for quite some time. Joining us now, Adam Liptak, Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks for being with us again, Adam.
Good morning, Celeste.
We want to talk about Justice Kennedy today, because everyone is talking about Justice Anthony Kennedy as being the swing vote on the Supreme Court on this case. And he's been the swing vote in a number of other important cases, Citizens United and others. Why is he in that position?
Well, he's in the ideological middle of the court, so it's not that he swings back and forth or that he's particularly Hamlet-like. It's just that he finds himself sort of the fulcrum of the court, the guy whose views are, by the standards of the Roberts Court, the most moderate.
Is he unpredictable?
In this case, I would say so. I mean, this is a case where the administration pretty much knew it had four votes going in, needed a fifth vote, and was right out of the box disappointed to hear that all of those available votes seemed to be asking hostile questions. And the one of those possibilities that remains a live one based on questioning later in the key argument was Kennedy's. He was the guy who seemed to say things that cut in both directions.
We're speaking with Adam Liptak, and we're talking about the Health Care Act, of course, and Adam Liptak is a Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. I wonder how we got here, where we were talking about swing votes, Adam, because you probably remember months ago, there was a lot of sort of derision over a constitutional challenge, right? I mean, even Supreme Court scholars were saying, look, this isn't much of an argument. I remember an interview with Charles Freed, who's a professor of law at Harvard University, and he was President Ronald Reagan's Solicitor General. He said the reason why this has become a close vote, I'm going to quote him, politics. He quotes the decision by Jeff Sutton. He describes him as a 24-karat gold conservative. He's a godfather to the Federalist Society. Look at his opinion, Charles Free said. Look at Larry Silberman's opinion. I don't understand what's gotten into people. Well, I do, I'm afraid, but it's politics, not anything else. Do you agree?
And I'm not prepared to call it political, but I will say that a year ago, a lead opinion, legal academics, people who follow the court, thought this would be a lopsided win for the administration, thought the argument on the other side was implausible to the point of being laughable, and all of that opinion has been proven wrong. It turns out that this argument, which may be a novel interpretation of the Commerce Clause, that there's a difference between activity and inactivity, it turns out to be something that really resonated with the more conservative members of the court.
A lot of people have been pointed to some things that Justice Anthony Kennedy said during the oral arguments and trying to see if those are a predictor of his eventual opinion. And one thing that I can tell by looking back is that his questions aren't generally good predictors of his eventual opinion. Why is that?
He's simply the hardest one to read. And I guess I don't have a reason for that, but I completely agree with your point that with a Justice Ginsburg or a Justice Scalia, what you see is what you get. With Justice Kennedy, he can confound you. And there was a big Voting Rights Act case a couple of years ago where everybody walked out of the courtroom convinced that Justice Kennedy was prepared to vote to strike down the Voting Rights Act. It didn't come out that way, so we might be seeing something similar in this health care case. I will say, though, that based on the available evidence, and if you could take Justice Kennedy's questions as indicative of where he's going to end up, they were mostly hostile to the administration.
And does that mean that you think that, or that people who know Justice Anthony Kennedy thinks that hostile questions come for an opposing opinion?
Oh, if you know nothing else, it's some evidence. But there's a lot we don't know. As you started out by saying, they're casting tentative votes. They're going to start circulating draft opinions, and a lot can change between now and the end of June when we expect the opinion.
How does that work then? We're speaking with Adam Liptak, Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Explain to us the process now that goes on behind closed doors in the Supreme Court before we get to that final ruling. In fact, this vote that they take today, and we won't know the results of it, could be very different from the eventual ruling. Why?
So the justices will cast a tentative votes based on the senior justice in the majority. That justice, often the chief justice, if he's in the majority, otherwise you go down by order of seniority, gets to decide who writes the majority opinion. And that opinion then gets circulated, a draft of that. And once they see it in writing, the other justices may or may not find themselves persuaded, or they may think, no, that's actually not the way I think about it. I might be more attracted to one of the dissenting opinions that are circulating.
And so what do we know from how these justices react to the lower court's opinions? For example, in the opinion by Jeff Sutton, is Justice Anthony Kennedy likely to rely on the opinion of someone like Judge Sutton?
I'm going to try to say this with as much discretion as I can. They don't really care about the lower courts. They do what they like. The fact that that lower courts went one way or the other, and the lower courts did split in various different ways, does not have a lot of weight with the Supreme Court. They look at themselves. They look at their own precedents. In a constitutional case like this, when they can do anything they like.
Well, let me just put this last question to you then. Is Justice Anthony Kennedy the swing vote, do you think? Or is there a chance that, say, Chief Justice Roberts could be the person that changes his mind?
No, I don't think it goes that way. I think it may rather go the other way. If Kennedy votes to uphold, perhaps the chief joins him.
Adam Liptak, Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Adam, thank you so much.
Good to be here.
If you have lingering questions about what happens now with that decision over the Affordable Care Act, we want to answer them for you. You can call us at 877-8MyTake or post your comment at thetakeaway.org.